What? No recession in Europe? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. In Europe, when it comes to economic growth, they'll take any glimmer of hope they can find. And there were some surprising signs of life this morning in some of the countries that use the euro. Beleaguered France is doing better than expected. And Germany, well, at least it's not in recession. And Greece did nicely. The BBC's veteran economics correspondent Andrew Walker fed this from London.
The resumption of economic growth in Greece is something of a landmark in the Eurozone's crisis. It was the unsustainable debt burden of the Greek government that set off the crisis in 2010, and it led to a deep recession and austerity as the government there sought to contain its borrowing as part of an international bailout. Although the economy has started to grow, it has a very long way to go to regain the lost ground. It doesn't help Greece that the rest of the Eurozone, as confirmed by the new data, is struggling to maintain its own economic momentum.
And how is this playing out in European stock markets and beyond? Here are numbers. The key stock index in Greece is up 1.8%. The CAC 40 index in Paris is down 0.25%. In London, the FT 100 down 0.33%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are up marginally. The International Energy Agency's monthly report today predicts crude prices will fall further next year, putting new pressure on the oil producers' cartel OPEC to cut production. This is wholesale stuff. Retail, the U.S. Department of Energy is saying gasoline could stay below $3 a gallon in the U.S. next year. This could have positive effects, especially for the working poor. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
The vast majority of workers both above and below the poverty line commute to work by car. And with gas now selling for $2.85 a gallon at this Ann Arbor gas station, Jesse Foster says he's paying $10 less to fill his tank than he was even a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a lot of saving because, you know, I drive a Suburban, so it's real good news.
Good news, particularly if you work for minimum wage. Margaret Sims is the director of the Low Income Working Families Project at the Urban Institute. Since poor commuters spend a greater percentage of their income on gas, she says any relief creates a ripple effect of benefits.
Which might mean that you don't run out of healthy foods. It also means that maybe you can pay a bill that you had to skip this month because you were putting gas in your car.
The government projects that gas prices will continue dropping, with a national average of $2.80 expected for December. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
The concert venue at New York's Lincoln Center has been called Avery Fisher Hall for more than 40 years because the violinist and hi-fi audio pioneer Avery Fisher and his family gave a lot of money for naming rights in perpetuity. But the hall needs $500 million in renovations, and now the Fisher family's agreed to let them take the name off in return for a $15 million payment. A new name or names could bring in much more. This weekend, open enrollment begins as consumers start shopping for insurance on the exchanges set up under the federal health care law again. Millions are expected to sign up, new people previously uninsured, as well as folks who are coming back for the second year. Prices will be changing. Plans will be different. Choices often complex. Private industry smells a business opportunity here. Dan Gorenstein joins us from the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, David.
So because of the health care reform law, we have all these people buying insurance, but what is it that's making purchasing the insurance so tough?
There are lots of crazy factors. Premium, deductible, coinsurance, in-network, out-of-network. Then you've got dozens of plans to sift through. Pile that on top of the fact that you need to look out not just at what problems you know about, but the problems you may have over the next 12 months. We're talking about 900,000 variables, David. This is not easy. And, you know, people don't necessarily even trust this product.
All right, so there's this complexity, yet people are lining up and buying health plans like never before. What do we know about the shopping experience that people had on the exchanges during the first year of operation?
There's a new report out from McKinsey this morning that finds a majority of the shoppers, 54%, were satisfied with their plans. Of the people most satisfied, 74% intend to re-up, unless McKinsey's Jenny Cordina told me their plans get more expensive.
As those premiums go up, a large majority will begin to shop once the premium prices go up more than 10%.
Now, I was knocked out, David, about this one example where people who were working at a high-tech firm, so we're talking super smart people, only had two choices. And two-thirds of the people at this super smart high-tech firm actually made the wrong choice. And the thing to know about this, David, is that these people who made the wrong choice were leaving $1,800 on the table in costs they could have avoided.
So complex enough that even people who are used to sifting through data and so forth ended up picking what might be described as the wrong plan. Now, this could be, I suppose, an opportunity for the clever innovator or entrepreneur who wants to make it all easier.
Totally. There are about a dozen companies working on ways to enhance the shopping experience. One company based here in Philadelphia is called Pickwell, and they're kind of trying to turn the whole process into sort of a Google-like experience. You answer a few quick questions, and their algorithm actually ranks the plans. Plus, it gives you a total out-of-pocket cost per month, not just the premium price. The hope is, as products like this mature, they will make buying insurance a whole lot easier, but more reliable, too.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you.
Thank you.
And if one is trying to forge a state, a crucial tool is to mint a currency. The militant group ISIS said it's introducing its own money system in the parts of Syria and Iraq where it currently holds sway. In a statement, ISIS says the new currency will help it, quote, emancipate itself from the satanic, usury-based global economic system, unquote. The announcement via social media suggests gold and silver coins will be rolled out in stages. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.